Okay. When I was asked to preach, Stephen asked me to preach on the book of Acts. And you know, what is the book of Acts? The book of Acts is one book in the Bible that has never ended. We are living in the book of Acts. And of course, when I have to think of what you're saying, when Kim was preaching last Sunday, he said we didn't need to preach science, we didn't need to preach math, but we needed to preach history. And I went to him at church, I said, well, you spoke to me, I'm going to preach on history. And title to this message is History Repeats Itself. And we're going to start out in Acts chapter 2, beginning with verse 1. And I know y'all are going to say, I had never read that before. All right, Acts 2 and 1 says, when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now, you know, you remember back in the Gospels, Jesus breathed upon the apostles, breathed the Holy Ghost upon them, didn't he? And they went out and did miracles and ministered to people. But now here, what did Jesus tell them? He said, tarry ye in Jerusalem till you be endued with power from on high. And tell them they'd be baptized with the Spirit of the Holy Ghost. And then what did it say? They were with one accord in one place. You know, we cannot do the power and move in the power of God without being in unity, can we? If one's saying this thing and one's saying that and another's saying something else, what do we have? We have confusion, don't we? But when we all get into one accord, we get to thinking the same way, all of a sudden, boy, God begins to move, doesn't he? And we see there, when once God moved and they were filled with the Holy Ghost, what do we see happen? It said Peter stood up that day and 3,000 souls were added. Not just one or two, 3,000 souls. And now if you want to turn to Acts 4 and 29, it says, And now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants with all boldness they may speak thy word, by stretching forth thine hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. We'll stop there, but what did it say? When they cried out to God, didn't they? Here's history repeating itself. They were filled in Acts chapter 2, and then all of a sudden when troubles begin to come, when they were having problems on every side, they begin to cry out to God, and what happened? It said they were filled with the Holy Ghost. They had the power come again. The building they was in was shaken. You know, we don't see much of that stuff anymore, do we? Maybe some of us, because we don't ask for it, do we? But you know, they called out. And you know, you even remember when the apostles were beaten because of the healing of a man. And they beat them and told them not to preach anymore in the name of Jesus. And what did they do? Said they went out there rejoicing that they were found worthy to be beaten for the gospel of Jesus Christ. They rejoiced in it. What do we do when somebody gets after us? Lord, why did this happen to me? I hadn't done nothing wrong. Why am I getting treated this way? I've been following you all this time. But what did they do? They said, praise God, we're worthy. They rejoiced in the fact that they were found worthy instead of grumbling and complaining. And I tell you what, I've lived in this world a lot of years now, and I've heard a lot of grumbles and complaints. What did we see in the wilderness when the children of Israel were brought out of slavery? What did they do most of the time? Grumble and complain, didn't they? But, you know, we live in the days of the book of Acts right now. That's the one book in the Bible that don't have an ending. It continues on. You know, how many times have you read books of people out in missionary work and people in other areas and God doing great, marvelous things? What are you reading in? You're reading the book of Acts, aren't you? Because they're doing the acts of God, doing what God has called them to do, and they're not slacking off from it. Now we're going to go with Paul and Silas when they were thrown in jail. It was Acts 16 and 25. They had preached the gospel. They'd been beaten. I mean, they had stripes on their back. And it ain't like these little whelps you get nowadays. Their backs were torn apart. And there they are in a prison in the midnight hour. Are they grumbling and complaining because they've been beaten? Are they saying, woe is me because my back is hurting? No, it says, and at the midnight hour, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God. And the prisoners heard them. It says, and suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's bands were loosed. That ain't talking about Paul and Silas there, is it? Everyone's bands were loosed. Everyone in the prison, their bands were loose. Some of them, maybe no telling how many years they'd even been in there. But did one of them run out the door? Not a one. Why? Because they felt the power and the presence of God and they didn't want to leave that. How many times when you feel the power and presence of God come down in your life, you don't like to leave that atmosphere, do you? You'd like to kind of stay in it a lot longer. And I tell you, and that's the way it was there, the prisoners, they didn't even want to leave a place that they'd probably said every day, I wish I was out of here. But when the power of God come down, they said, hold it, I don't want to leave now. There's something good here. How many times has God done that through the years? We look at the Zusu Revival back years ago. That was the book of Acts being repeated. That was the power of the Holy Ghost coming into lives and transforming, and churches begin to be established because of it. What about the great revival in Scotland when they had that prayer meeting in the rooms for years and people began to get saved and filled with the Holy Ghost? And we've seen this transformation coming over and over through the years. Every time you turn around, when we cry out to God, God does something. But if we sit back in our seats and we're content, we don't get nothing, do we? The Bible said, they that hunger and thirst after righteousness shall be filled. They that hunger and thirst after the Spirit of God, they're going to be filled. back in the late 60s, I seen revival just begin to be poured out. I seen churches that didn't even know there was such a thing as speaking in tongues being filled with the Holy Ghost and speaking in tongues. It was called the charismatic movement. But you know, God is always ready to move again, isn't He? He desires to pour out His Spirit. We talk about Sri Lanka. God desires to pour out His Spirit there, and people are already getting a revelation that He's going to do it too. Not just one or two, but several people I've heard mention that God's getting ready to do something. Wherever we're at, if we trust God and we believe what He says, we're going to see something happen. It's not because of us, but it's because we yield ourselves to Him and say, "Not my will, Lord, but thine be done." And when we do it that way, God moves. He'll pour out His Spirit upon us. You know what? He loves us, doesn't He? I was talking to somebody the other day when I was here years ago ministering out on the streets, and I was talking to some school kids, and they said, if Hitler had asked God to save him, would he have done it? I said, yes, he would have. And they said, oh, I wouldn't want to serve a God like that. But you know, any of us, if we truly repent of what we've done, God hears us, doesn't He? Don't matter whether your name's Hitler or who. And I said, one thing about it, that's the kind of God I want to serve. Because if I didn't, I'd be afraid I'd do something so bad He wouldn't forgive me. But what is it? God is a God of love, isn't He? He don't desire to destroy nobody. His desire is for us all to come into His presence and come into His salvation. If He didn't believe that, He wouldn't have sent Jesus to the cross to die. He said, I'm tired of seeing man die in sin. I'm going to send a deliverance to them. I'm going to send the perfect Lamb to die on the cross. So, in the book of Acts, like I say, what do we see? All through the book of Acts, every bit of it shows a great moving of the power of the Spirit of God. We see Paul and Silas. We see Paul and Barnabas. We see Stephen, full of the Holy Ghost, preaching to the Jews. And all of a sudden, that when they stone him, he says, told them what he seen, didn't he? Seen Jesus there at the right hand of the Father. And did he die in misery? I think he died rejoicing because of what he saw. Probably quit feeling the rocks once he seen that. Can't guarantee that, but whether he's feeling them or not, he wasn't thinking much about them when you can see God up there on His throne. But we see through the book of Acts, everywhere we go, that God moves. It didn't matter who they were. When Peter was sent to the Gentiles, place he ain't even supposed to go. You know, he ain't supposed to have fellowship with them. But when he went there and he began to talk to them about Jesus, what happened? Said they were filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with tongues. And I could almost see Peter's face, even though he knew he was doing what God told him to do. Probably a little bit of shock on his face, seeing Gentiles speaking in tongues. But then he realized immediately, you know, that is what God's doing. And he says, what hinders these being baptized, seeing that they have been baptized with the Holy Ghost the same as us? We always just need to be obedient to what He says do. It's easy to sit back and say, oh, well, maybe. But if we do what God tells us to do, we have no fear. It don't matter if we die, we don't have fear because we're doing exactly what He told us to do. And the apostles could rejoice. What did they do when Jesus went to the cross? They ran away, didn't they? Even Peter, who said, there ain't no way I'll run. I'll die with you. But then he ran. But once we got to the book of Acts and he got filled with the Holy Ghost, there wasn't no running in Peter anymore, was there? He stood strong. He cried out for the things of God. Not saying he was always perfect, but he was a whole lot more perfect than he had been because he listened to the voice of God. They heard everything Jesus said, but never understood Him. When He told them He was going to the cross to die, they didn't believe Him. Peter even took Him away and rebuked Him at that time, too, telling Him that wasn't going to happen. But we, as I'm trying to say, we live in the book of Acts today. God don't want us sitting in our seats doing nothing. He don't want us sitting, just waiting. Say, God, what are you going to do? When He's sitting there saying, what are you going to do? Are you going to hear My voice? Are you going to be obedient to the things I want you to do? Just like with me. When the Lord spoke to me and He said, of course, He put it this way because He knew what I had in my head. He said, one day you're going to Ireland. And I said, okay, Lord. And what happened? One day I went, didn't I? Y'all had to put up with me for quite a while. But God wants us to yield to Him. Now I'm going to tell y'all something I hope y'all have heard. But I don't know because God spoke it to me about a year and a half ago. I was in bed and I was praying. All of a sudden the Lord spoke to me. And I couldn't even hardly believe what He spoke. He said, there's going to be a spiritual explosion. And I said, what? An explosion? And you know, and since that time I've heard preachers get up preaching that. So it means it wasn't something just God gave to me. God is desiring to bring revival to this world. Revival ain't over with yet. It's going to continue on. In the book of Hebrews, what does it say? It said He's going to shake the earth again, didn't He? And He said, only that will stand will stand. What's going to stand when the earth's shaking? It's those that give their hearts to God. When we say, yes, Lord, I'm going to clobber that mic. Yeah. We say, Lord, I'll do whatever You want me to do. And then not grumble and complain about it, but just say, yes, Lord. If we don't know how to do it, say, Lord, how do I do this? And you know what? He'll tell you how too, won't He? I've never seen Him leaving me helpless when He's told me to do something. He's always opened every door I needed. And I know many of y'all could stand up and say the same thing, that He's opened the doors you needed when you needed them. Why? Because He loves us. And He's chosen us to be vessels to do His will and His work in this time. But we each have a choice. We can say, yes, Lord, or we can say no. But we need to make that choice. Well, I guess that's the end of my message.